Okay, you can turn to Romans 6, and I'm just going to speak for about 5 minutes to set this message up. And I'll be quoting various scriptures, and then we'll get into Romans 6. And the message is walking in newness of life. Walking in newness of life. Now, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Yes, and it says for 40 days he appeared unto the disciples by many infallible proofs. Everybody say many. Many infallible proofs. Jesus proved that he is the resurrection and the life, that a man rose from the dead. God, but also man rose from the dead. And Jesus is life. And he said, I came to give you life and to give it to you in abundance. How many of you today, you would say that in every area of your life, you're walking in the abundant life of Jesus? I can't lift my hand, and I'm not shocked that we have not one hand in here. So this message really is for us, because if you had maxed out on every one of the areas of life, then maybe you could go ahead and leave the service and go do something else. But because we still are in the process of experiencing the life of Christ and beginning to yield ourselves more and more and being filled with all the fullness of God. You know, when I ask this question, I've never had one person say, yes, I am filled with all the fullness of God in a manifested way. And that's what Ephesians 2:19 says. It says that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, guys, the carnal life is completely boring compared to the life that we have in Christ. Now, like a number of you, I had some really, which I would say, good days. You know, really, I maxed out sinning quite a bit at times in my life. And so on the scale of 1 to 10, I experienced some 10 days in sin. And it didn't bring me peace. It didn't bring me joy. It didn't bring me happiness. What did sin bring me? Eventually, death. Do you know where I allowed sin to work? All those relationships where I allowed sin, they died. Death, death, death. The Bible says that sin comes in, and what's right behind sin? Death is right behind sin. And so I have grown to hate my carnal nature. I've had many experiences where the Adamic man was ruling instead of the Christ-like man. And damage is done. Selfishness never produces life. Satan, sin, and self have been defeated by the resurrected Christ. And he now says to us, I've got a new life for you. One of the verses that I've quoted so many times is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, how many of you are in Christ right now? All things are made new, right? Old things are gone. All things are made new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I quote that verse, and I find something working in me that doesn't look all that new. It's pretty familiar. The old man is manifesting. The old character, the old guy that God says we can't reform the old guy, he's dead. You know, God doesn't try to reform the Adamic nature. He sentences the Adamic man, the Adam in us, the fallen man, to death. And he expects us to learn to keep that fallen nature dead. Those who are Christ have crucified the affections and the lust thereof. And so my testimony is that I've, in the process of growing into Christ-likeness and learning to walk in newness of life, it's been hit and miss for me. I've been frustrated to see the promise, see the goal, see the standard, to see what God has for me, and then to find something working in me that was contrary to the law of God, contrary to the Word of God, and manifesting then in me things that were not of God. And so, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, how many of you, that scripture is precious to you? Therefore, are you in Christ? You're a new creation. Well, if you're a new creation, then why aren't you walking like a new creation? And when you don't walk like the new creation, you know you're not walking like the new creation. And who definitely is there to tell you that you're not walking like the new creation? The devil, the accuser, the brethren is right there. You're not, you might be the worst Christian in the house. That's pathetic. And that's exactly, you'll never be different. See, those lies, and that's why the Bible says, what then shall we say to these things, Romans 8? There are voices that are going to be speaking to you that will condemn you and will keep you in bondage. And you must learn to break away from everything other than divine revelations of what the Word of God says you are. It's so fundamental to your walk. It is absolutely necessary that you believe the Word of God, that you're a new creation. In spite of a history of the old man and his works all over your life. And so another verse that I speak quite frequently is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I'm now living, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's one of the great scriptures in the Bible. It's one of the great identity verses in the Bible. I am crucified with Christ. I'm identified with Christ at the cross. I died with Christ, was buried with Christ, and now I'm being raised with Christ. And so I'm just setting the message. We're going to get into Romans 6, and I'm going to show you how the Word of God can teach us step by step how we can go in this process of learning to walk in the newness of life, in the resurrection life. Actually, it's the eternal life. God gave His Son, and in His Son is life, eternal life. And you and I have to learn to feed on Jesus and receive the life that's in Jesus, in His Word. And as we're meditating and receiving this teaching this morning, that we are realizing that there is no life apart from Jesus. Now, as I get into principles today and points, and you got to remember to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and it might seem a little formula, like we just have to work the formula. It couldn't be further from the truth. People that use the Word of God like a formula fail all the time. It almost becomes of works. But Jesus said, I am the true vine, you're the branch, abide in me. As you abide in me and I in you, ask what you will and it will be done for you. So what I'm encouraging us to do is learning that Jesus really is our only life source. He is our life. Christ, who is our life. If you're a Christian, you have no other life than Christ. And to the degree that you can apprehend and appropriate the life of Christ will be the degree you get victory. What if today we all decided to live according to just our natural instincts, our fleshly natural instincts? We would walk down to the level of a beast. And there are people who live that way. You know, some kid killed another kid for his tennis shoes, Air Jordans, this few years ago. And he was asked, why'd you do it? He said, I wanted them. He killed the kid for a pair of tennis shoes. And that's living at a beast level. Okay? But maybe you decide to be better than that and you live soulically. What are you if you live by the power of a soul life? Your soul. Your life. Well, you're a rebel then. Because you're still not living by the life of Christ. Why did Adam and Eve fall? They left the tree of life. And they went on their own to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they began to choose what they wanted to do. And so if you live by your physical appetites, you're going to be a mess. If you live by your soulical mind and will, you're going to be a mess. Eventually, the sin nature is going to grab you. And even as a Christian, if the power source that you're living your life from is either your flesh, which really entails your soul too, when the Bible speaks of the flesh, It's speaking about somebody who is not living from the power source of Christ and the Holy Spirit, but from their own natural human soul. And that will always lead to bondage. And so in Romans 7, maybe we can go to Romans 7 before we go into Romans 6. As I began to experience frustration in my walk as like Artie, we got born again the same year, 45 years now in the Lord. And I got born again at 15, and by 16, I'm reading. I'm just in the Word all the time, and I'm growing in Christ and experiencing great growth. And then, you know, all of a sudden, sin showed up again. And I began to experience a frustration of fighting this sin nature and many times failing and then getting under condemnation and not understanding who I really was in Christ. And living a very frustrated life, but still wanting to serve Jesus. I'm wanting to be a blessing. I'm wanting to pray. I'm wanting to read my Bible, but I'm struggling in my life with sin manifesting in parts of my personality. And so in verse 14, I found Paul had the same testimony that I have. And he says in verse 14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin, the natural eye. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. What I want to do in God, I'm not practicing. But what I hate, that's what I do." Does anybody in here, you found that in your life? "If then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law is good." Okay, the law is not wrong, I'm wrong. "But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Now Paul's a born-again man, and he's saying that the sin nature is dwelling in him. But sin, meaning the entity, this thing that is called sin, not just sins that you would commit individually, but the principle called sin, dwells in me, and it's in each one of us right now. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. In my natural man," Paul says, "you're not going to be able to find anything good. It's all been contaminated by sin, death and sin. In my natural man, the Adamic nature is completely broken and dead, separated, alienated from God. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find." And Amy, I think that's a great place for us to be honest with ourselves. That there is a desire to be a good, strong Christian. But how to perform what is good, Paul was saying, I can't find it. "For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil that I will not to do, that I practice." He says, the evil that I don't want to do, I'm practicing that. "Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin." Sin. The principle, the entity called sin. Not sins, but sins are produced by this entity the Bible calls sin. It's a sin nature that dwells in me. And he goes on to say other things here. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Verse 25. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." The deliverance that we have from the carnal nature, the deliverance that we have today from a life that is struggling to find eternal life, that life is only found in Jesus Christ. I want to say this, and then we'll get into Romans 6. Christianity is based upon Christ and Him only. You can't be very successful as a Christian just accumulating doctrines. And, you know, I know this much of the Word. I know this much. I know the Word on prosperity. I know the Word on healing. I know the Word on forgiveness. I know, you ask me, and I know the Word. on it. But it goes much deeper than you knowing scriptures. It goes to this core of a relationship that a body has with the head. You have to walk with Jesus if you're going to ever have eternal life. It's only as you... John 6:57, Jesus said that even as I feed on the Father and I live because of the Father, whoever feeds on me shall also live and have eternal life. So it's who continues to feed on Jesus, living moment by moment with Jesus as your life. That you've acknowledged that you, in your natural man, nothing good exists. And so the challenge would be for us to, are we appropriating the person of Jesus moment by moment? I mean, it can get mechanical. I mean, guys, you know, you might be walking along like this. I got to have Jesus, you know. Or you can, like Adam who walked with God in the cool of the day. The word cool is spirit. You and I can in the spirit. We can walk seamlessly with God. Fluid. There could be a fluidity, if that's a word. I think it is. Oh, lift your hands with me. That Christ would be our life. Philippians 3:10. Oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. But is that really what the church today wants? I've never been to one church growth conference that they ever said you need to preach the cross. It's things like, you know, you got one chance with visitors. When they come in, if they're not impressed, they're leaving. No, you'll never see them again. I hate that thought. That we build the church with a first appearance. And yet God says, though I look at the heart, man does look at the outward appearance. And so the reality is, how many of you ever met somebody you didn't like at first? But they turned out to be one of your best friends ever. I didn't hear that, but it must have been good because got more laughs than anything I've had to say. She married me. Oh. Woo. We'd better send that couple to Palm Desert next year. And so... We've got to realize today that God's got the overcoming life for us, but every bit of it is found in Christ. Every bit of it is found in Christ. That's why Paul said, I determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, let me ask you, those of you that want something of the kingdom, are you more motivated by the things of the kingdom than Christ Himself? Are you more interested in apprehending prosperity than Jesus Himself? Health than Jesus Himself? And yet we know, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. But even as your soul prospers, and there is no prospering in your soul, if your soul is detached from the vine, if you are detached, you can do nothing without Christ. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And if you are living and trying to be holy and trying to perfect holiness, even in the fear of God, and you're coming to church, you're reading your Bible, you're doing everything you're supposed to do, sin might still show up in your life. What are you going to do? You've got to learn how to appropriate the life of Christ. You've got to learn that there's a power source that's not soulical anymore. The minute that I tap into Matt's store, you know, I think I'm an all right guy. How many of you thought you were an all right guy? Then you realize you weren't. And you realize, honestly, you were pretty bad. Well, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, the human heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can possibly know it? Do you know, dear Christian, that if you unplug from Jesus and the Word of God and listen to the Holy Spirit, your human heart will show up in a heartbeat. It's back. And it's deceitfully wicked. You can't put any confidence in your flesh. Paul said that in my flesh, I put no confidence. Paul even went on so far to say that he realized that he was the chiefest of sinners. What I'm trying to say is that you must come to this revelation sitting right where you are, that in your natural soulical power, you are not good. You are a dysfunctional, fallen creature. And that you will not please God in the flesh. You will eventually choose your will, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which will always open up the door for the devil, for Satan, sin, and self. You must renounce a life of trying to be good in your flesh. You have to renounce a life of trying. Anything apart from God. Watchman Nee said something, some of you might think it's controversial, but no, I fully understand it. Because I was a good guy. I have never done drugs one time in my life. I've only drank maybe one beer in my life under a test. And I smoked no cigarettes. But I did chew gum in class. Listen. How many of you put your gum under your seat? So I'm not as good as I thought I was. Sin's breaking out. Even chewing gum, I'm failing because I'm eventually putting the gum where it shouldn't be. So there's just failure with Adam. It's a perpetual, and you're like this little chipmunk. What do they call those old guys? A what? A hamster on a wheel. You're just constantly spinning and making no progress in Christ's likeness if that effort is done in your natural man. That's why the Bible says in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "No, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I am momentarily at this second living is by the life of Him who loved me and gave Himself for me." Amy, we had a great Easter season. We magnified the resurrection of Jesus. And now, those who believe, Jesus said in me, I give to you life, eternal life, to those who believe. And yet the church has been bound up. And we're not tapping into the kind of life that Jesus said, the life that I'm going to give you, it's going to be abundant life to the full till it overflows life. There's a whole new sphere of life that is available to us. But we're bound. I want you to think about a seed for a second. Now, a seed is, it's got life in the seed, right? But the life in the seed is contained within a what? A shell, a husk, a shell. And it's got scientific names. I don't care about those names. We all understand the life that's in that seed is surrounded. That life is Jesus. It's eternal life. But it's surrounded by a shell, a husk, that what? If that life inside that seed is to break forth, what must happen to the husk? It's got a crack. And it doesn't just kind of like nicely disappear. What happens with the husk? It just starts cracking apart. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it abides alone as it is a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You'll see this all the way through the epistles. Paul's talking about death leading to life. 2 Corinthians 4. He says, always going about with possessing the dying of the Lord Jesus, that his life may be made manifest. Now, for a lot of us, that principle can be hard to grasp. What that's saying to us is that Paul recognized that he could not do it himself. And he, in doing it, he needed to grab onto Jesus and realize some divine realities, which we're about ready to get into in Romans 6. And so what I am hoping that will happen today is the husk of your carnal nature, your soulical man, the what really your mind, your will, your emotions, all that made up of the soul is going to begin to crack today as your power source. And that you're going to fall off and decrease so the life that's in you, the eternal life, can come forth. You know, when revival comes and it changes everything, and when Pentecost happens again, as it did in Azusa, and what a great time 2 weeks ago in Azusa now. But there is such an influence of divine grace that comes upon you, and it overwhelms you, that your carnal man is swallowed up in a sea of life. This could be your daily walk. How many of you today would say, oh, I would love to walk like Christ. I would love to walk like Peter. I'd love to walk like John. I'd love to walk like Paul. I want to be a Christian that produces fruit. I love Jesus. I don't want to live in the flesh. I don't want to live for self. I want to live full of God blessing the earth. Then the husk has to fall off you. And you know, if the husk is around you, blocking the life, the eternal life, you know by the way you act. You know your own personal heart. The Bible says everyone knows the bitterness of their own heart. Everyone in this room, you know where you are. You're not dumb. You're not stupid. You know how much of your life is still lived outside of Christ and His Word. And you will get what you, I mean, that little bit of life will all you'll ever have till you go to heaven. The challenge is to die to self. John said, I must decrease so he can increase. Wouldn't it be great at the River Family Church, it's every one of us, we denied ourselves, picked up our cross, and followed Christ. And so if we're going to have the life of Christ, oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. It didn't stop there. Paul said, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And so I'm going to challenge you right now in Romans 6 to die. And to stand up boldly and declare that God says, I'm dead. Let's go to Romans 6. The context in Romans 6 is victory over sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? The victory we have in Christ is not just that we punched our ticket for heaven one day, but that the Bible says sin has been defeated in our life. Or do you not know, as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Jesus through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also here at the river should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. That's just not one day when Jesus comes back. That's right now resurrection. In your life. Now, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, made unemployed, emptied. That's what that word in the Greek means, to be unemployed. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe. Everybody say believe. And this is what we're going to talk about. A lot of us aren't believing these divine realities. And until you do believe him, you can never walk in victory in Christ. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe, everybody say believe, that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Jesus is living at the right hand of God in the power of an endless life, and he's living ever to make intercession for us. And that life that he has is coming to us right now. Is Jesus' intercession right now of no avail in your life? Yes, it is of avail, and it is working. But that husk has to drop off. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over us at the river. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, under the law means not Moses' Ten Commandments. It means you trying to please God in your flesh. You're not under that system anymore. You're under grace, God doing it through you. Now, let's go back to verse 3 and see the baptized into his death. What does this mean? There in verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, his death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. God planned for us that in Christ there's a new life. That we're not walking in Adam. We're not walking in selfishness. We're not walking in anger. We're not walking in selfishness and lust and covetousness. We're not walking that when somebody hits us, we hit them back. We're not slandering. We're not gossiping. We're not walking in pride over another brother or sister. We don't have a better than, I'm a better than you spirit. The Bible actually says, you ready for this? Count others better than yourself. Because we are the body of Christ and we're serving the earth, Jesus. How dare the church walk through the earth assuming it's each one of us weren't saved by grace and somehow, you know, we're better than those worldling people. We forgot that our sinful heart is just as wicked. You know, there's some really horrible sins out there. Honestly, because of my upbringing, even apart from Christ, it put so many, you know, 20-foot high, 6-foot wide brick walls around my character, my life, that I could never do those things. But if I've been born in those environments, do you think I couldn't do those things? Because the same sin nature that's manifesting in those degenerated people, that same sin nature is in me. And it's possible. John Wesley said, when he saw a drunk stagger by and somebody was mocking him, John Wesley said, save the grace of God, there go I. Because that thing that is got that guy drunk, that thing is abiding in me. Artie, we did a track once called, There's a Monster Within. A Monster Within. It's a sin nature, and it's a monster. And it goes around like Godzilla, just as big as Godzilla to destroy. So what is this baptism into death? I'm going to conclude with verse 4, but we're going to pick this up next week. What does it mean to be baptized? Well, the word baptized means to submerge. It means to immerse. It means to take something and completely immerse it in whatever it's being put into. And so when it speaks of baptized, it speaks of a total commitment. It speaks of a total surrender. It speaks of every bit of the fabric that's being dyed a different color as it's put into the dye, the basin of dye. They're putting that fabric in completely. Every bit of it has to be submerged. And in this baptism in the death of Jesus, it says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just, okay, the Bible says that when you believe on Jesus, this is substitution and identification 101. All Christianity rides on these two words, substitution and identification. That when you believe in Jesus, according to Colossians 2:12, God, by the operation of God, the King James says, by the operation of God, he put us in Christ. We were crucified with Christ. Put into him and crucified. When you believe in Jesus, God says every bit of you, your carnal nature was taken with Jesus and nailed to the cross. And when you were crucified with Christ, you died with Christ. You were buried with Christ. That's what baptism shows us. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. At the baptism today, we're going to make that point very clear. Now guys, listen. I'm only starting to get into the tip of this. Where over the next few weeks, we're going to really pound this. And it's going to help you. It's going to help all of us in this room to walk in the very life of Jesus and to begin to understand where victory is. That it's not in trying real hard to be good. Watchman Nee, I didn't finish this, but Watchman Nee said, God would rather you sin than do good if the good that you do is in the flesh. Because eventually, you can't be good in the flesh. You have to learn the miracle of Christianity is Christ himself. He is my life. And so it says that we can be raised to walk in newness of life, in a new sphere, in a new level. That we don't have to think dark thoughts. We don't have to live in unforgiveness. We don't have to live in impotency, spiritually speaking. Or anyway. God wants us full of his life, the life of Jesus. And it starts with you understanding how dead you really are. Let me read two more verses and then we'll stop. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death. How many of you know by believing in Jesus, you believe that verse, you've been united together in the likeness of Jesus' death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, this newness of life. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be unemployed, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Do you know who is a slave to sin? The person who does not know that his old man was crucified with him and then act like that word is true. You have to look away from your current experience. What your flesh is doing, what your flesh is, the old man. And you've got to look away onto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Isaiah 65:24. Look unto me and be saved. If you don't look to Jesus as the true vine in your life, abiding in him. If you've gone down into a performance Christianity of do's and don'ts. If you're not apprehending the reality that you know. If you don't know this, that you were crucified with Christ. And that you died on that cross. That God put you in Christ on that cross. You can never walk in victory. You will never walk in victory. Christianity is a miracle. It's the life of Christ. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified. Paul had to be able to say that verse even if sin was in his life. He has to be able to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Are you baptized in the death of Christ? Are you looking at the death of Christ and realizing, you know, Jesus was baptized too? Do you know? Think about, and he had no sin in his life. Why did Jesus have to be baptized? The Jordan, actually, is the lowest point on earth. It's symbolic of dying to self. And so Jesus starts his ministry focused on dying to his self, even though there's no sin in his self. He still has to die to self. He has to then be raised up. And he's immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. And now he's living every step of his walk as our Redeemer under the power of the Spirit of God. That's why Romans 7:6 says you can't live by the law, the letter of the law, but by the newness of the Spirit, capital S. Do you understand? It's not you getting better and trying to read more of the Word and this and that. If you don't read any of the Word, you're going to be carnal. Your mind's not renewed. You haven't got a chance. You will never obey the Holy Spirit. You'll be figuring life out on the run as it seems right unto you, but the end thereof is the ways of death. You have to realize that this victory that we have in Christ, where the resurrected Savior is fully able to manifest his life out of us, it comes from a believer with a renewed mind to the divine principles and revelations, then knowing this, that my old man was crucified and now is dead. How many of you stand on your feet? How many of you can make that your declaration today? How many of you can make this declaration and you can say it because there's no sin at all in your life? You mean, God, you expect me to stand up and make this declaration even with sin in my life? I kind of feel hypocritical. No, this is what God's saying to you. Is you get in agreement with what God says and not your history. You get in agreement with what God says about you, the divine truths of your life in Christ. To the degree that we can move our lives over into Christ completely, that's where the resurrection life is going to be free to flow. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. I declare today that the body of sin in Matt's story, and every one of us at the river is unemployed right now because we know this truth, that our old man was crucified. How many of you believe that today, that your old man was crucified? Because the Word of God tells us. It doesn't say because you haven't got any sin in your life. I guess, hey, congratulations, you made it. Because you're a believer, it matters what you believe. If you will believe the old man was crucified, if you will believe that you're united to Christ himself, you will be raised up in the likeness of his resurrection. I'll go so far to say this. To the degree that you can believe that you're dead in Christ and alive in Christ, and that you're not trusting in the natural man, that's the degree that eternal life will manifest in you. So that's the degree that eternal life will manifest in you. So the takeaway from today's service is you cannot trust yourself. You cannot try to be a good Christian leaning upon the arm of your flesh. You have to recognize that in the natural you're undone. You are pathetic. You are a failure. You're dead in trespasses and sins in the natural man. That God is not going to reform Adam. He's going to crucify Adam every time. And he's telling you, pick up your cross, store, and follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. What does that mean, pick up my cross? That means I'm saying no to self right now. And I'm going to follow Jesus because I love Jesus. My eyes are on him. I'm a branch abiding in the vine. Where the vine goes, the branch goes. I'm not having a long distance relationship with Jesus. The takeaway from this message is that Christ is your life. And that you've got to look at the old man that's even manifesting in you today. Some of you came today with anger and frustration. Some of you came bound with some things. You got to be able to look at the old man and say, no, I reckon him dead. I count my old man dead. I say he's dead and I'm alive in Christ. Some of you, the devil will remind you, and you don't even need the devil to remind you because maybe some of the things you've done are so ignorant and noteworthy that people are reminding you. You got to be quick to repent. Fall on the rock and be broken and say, oh Lord, I'm so sorry that I disappointed you. But I apply the blood to those things. And now I rise up. I look at my old man and I reckon him dead based on the divine fact that he is dead. God killed him in Christ. My old man, that old nature is dead. And we're going to go over this a few times. Will you allow the Word of God? Can we do some laps on this thought over the next few weeks? Or have you guys got it all figured out? You don't need me to talk about this anymore because you just got the sin thing mastered. You're doing. How many of you say, no, you can move on to the higher things? And we all know we need help in this area of learning. The Bible says, seeing you have these great promises, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So this is something, it's a process. We're perfecting it. We're walking it out. Say this prayer with me, Jesus. You're my Savior. You saved me from sin. You're saving me from sin. Now save me from the old man. Help me to grab onto your baptism into death, that I truly see myself and believe this, that I am crucified with Christ, dead unto sin. I reckon myself dead. I say so in agreement with the Word of God. And now I turn and I expect the Holy Spirit with resurrection life to empower me to live a holy life, a fruitful life, and a powerful life, a Christ-like life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.